I am finally trying out free bleeding underwear.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
How's that going?
Well, I just did. I forgot to... Well, I didn't bring them on my trip because I wasn't supposed to start my period. But it was, once again, several days early for 2 months in a row now. And so then I just kind of was like, fortunately, I have enough tampons scattered around all my stuff in a sort of Back to the Future-esque way, or like Bill and Ted. You know, like...
Yeah.
That kind of like, many months ago, I thought I had the foresight to leave tampons in the suitcase, you know. Anyway, so I had just enough to get me back. But now I've been meaning, I bought these a few weeks ago from the internet, and then I got them in.
Are they the Thinks?
No, there's several now. And I honestly don't remember what these are called, which is great because that way we're not giving free advertising to whichever company.
Good point.
Yeah. So if you do want us to endorse your product, send me some of your period underwear, because I bought a 5-pack because they came in like packs of 5 or 6. And so now I have 5 or 6 large, and I really needed medium, as it turns out. I'm finally at the place where I think I'm ready for medium size underwear. I've been doing large for a long time, but I am just under that curve now of like, okay. I'm not even going to be muffin topping. I need a medium. And so I was going to return them, but I honestly could not figure out
how
where I even bought them from or where these things exist online. Like, I couldn't find an email or anything. You know, sometimes you make these Instagram purchases, or I don't know if that's what it was. Anyway, but
I do shit like that sometimes where it's like free shipping, or like you don't pay for anything but shipping. I'm like,
I'll get this random piece of jewelry for $6. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I've ordered fine. two or three Instagram.
You win. You got me.
Yeah. And that's like fair enough. I'm like, no, this is a fair exchange. I will, you know, I'm fine with paying $6 for a Diva cup. I think that was my latest Instagram purchase. Yeah. Just had to pay free shipping, and they would send you some kind of Diva cup. Anyway, but so these are large. I like the idea of, especially on your lighter days, just having the underwear, no tampon, because I do think the tampons give us cramps. I think that's part of the cramp complex, is the jumbo tampons.
I mean, have you like enjoyed it? Or not enjoyed it, or has it just been better than like...
I'm not deriving sexual pleasure out of it.
Well, that's why it changed.
I don't have a period underwear fetish.
How wet are you based off these period panties?
That's the thing. That's what I don't like about it, is that I feel wet because now there's just like a slow trickle of blood seeping out of me. So I'm like, but it's like I'm wearing them, and that gives me the peace of mind, and I don't feel like putting in a tampon, but it does mean that there's that feeling of like sitting in your own juices a little bit. And so now, but you can still just go and kind of like wipe it away. And then like, I don't really care about these underwear getting a little bit of blood on them though. That's the good thing. So I'm like, but I am definitely, I can feel the blood dripping out of my vagina right now. So that's fine. I can get used to it. I don't like putting in tampons, and it's so annoying. It's like the most... You know, like transferring the laundry. It's just a tedious chore that never ends, and I don't like doing it. It's like I will put off changing a tampon. I mean, I just really hate it. But I do like, okay, I don't know the science on it, but it really did seem to me like the other day when I could only find regular tampons on my heavy day, I was just putting, you know, taking those in and out every 2 hours. And then when I finally found a Super Plus and I put that in, I immediately got cramps. And so... I mean, this has stuck with me for years, because when I was like 16 or 17, I heard Larry the Cable Guy tell a joke about...
The things that stay with you.
I know. He told a joke about like, I don't know if he had to buy a girlfriend or someone some tampons once, or like find one for her, and he picked up what must have been like, you know, Super Plus, and he was just being like... Well, good Lord. No wonder you guys have cramps sticking this thing up in there. And I was like laughing at that. I mean, I'm like, I think he's right. As stupid as that is, and as stupid as a persona is, I'm like, yeah, I totally get fucking cramps from sticking jumbo fucking cotton plugs up there. And so instead of it being like, I'm just going to stick one of those in my vagina every 24 hours, days, you know, 3 to 6 of my period, I'm going to try to just... learn to be okay with this trickling out of blood into my underwear.
Yeah. That's the thing that's always like, I've wondered about, like, you know, with people who are really like on board with free bleeding, it's like, do you have any weird sensation problems? Cause it's like, that's the thing that I think it would be hard to handle. Right. If you're just like, I mean, cause like, I don't know. I've had to get used just to being leaky. And so I can't imagine just like feeling like you said, just sitting in your own juices. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I could do that, especially if I hadn't done that my entire life. And then suddenly I'm like trying the free bleeding thing. It's like, I don't know if I could cross that sensation, like boundary or whatever. Right.
Well, yeah, because even when I feel like some of my OCD that was happening around puberty was that I would go and just like wipe a lot because I didn't like the feeling of like any kind of wetness. Yeah. You know how I am about like, I don't like drip drying either. But yeah, so when I was in that puberty time and like, you know, you start becoming wet a little bit all the time. I would just go walk into the restroom, take some toilet paper, like wipe, throw it away. I would just do that like pretty often. And it became kind of OCD of, well, definitely OCD of like any feeling of moistness had to go. And it kind of became like a vicious cycle of, you know, then even a little hint of it becomes too much of a thing. And so this could become kind of healthy for me to be like, all right, I'm going to just sit in this fucking diaper of periodness. So, yeah.
That's a funny way to like sell it as period diapers.
That's what they are.
I know. But it's just like no one's going to put that phrase like in their advertising.
Baby period diapers. Yeah, that's my it's not a sex thing for me, but if it is for anyone else, I mean, that seems like a win.
This is the Gender Fluids Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Ava Smart, a 26-year-old trans girl and bottom-leaning switch.
And I'm Ariel Isaac Norman, a 32-year-old boy lesbian, for now. And we're bringing you the only queer podcast that isn't super gay.
Gender Fluids is a podcast about all the sex and all the people. You can follow us on Instagram at Gender Fluids Podcast. On Twitter, we're at Gender Fluids Pod. Our email is genderfluidspodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to support us on Patreon, you can find us at patreon.com/genderfluids. Enjoy the episode, y'all. Right on. Well, we'll check back in, I guess, next month.
Like, if you're into adult baby diaper stuff, are some people into like adult periods?
Yeah.
Into the diapers?
Yeah. And also
mixture of old and young.
I know a lot of ABDL vagina having people who like on their period will just wear like a pull up instead
for sure. Well, I mean,
like instead of like, yeah, it's like, yeah,
it's like finally your interests align with practical matter. I know, that's tight.
But yeah, that's definitely a thing.
I didn't know if it would bum them out because like babies don't have periods. So
I don't think anybody that's like into age play, at least that I've seen, like has that type of like weird
division of
like, yeah, it's like very, it's such a like act and like a role play, right? That like, it's really hard to forget, like, yeah, you've got like, you're a fucking adult, you know, on some level. Like, that's why, like, it's not, you know, with puppy play, it's just as puppy play, but at least with adult baby, it's like they're like really trying to think and believe they're puppies. But with like adult baby shit, adult is still in the name. It's like, yeah, that's such a hard leap to like make. Like, I think, I don't
that's
think
true. They're still calling themselves adult baby diaper lovers.
Yeah. And like, you
but
know,
there must be,
I mean, there are people that regress back.
Baby. Little baby diaper lover people. Right.
Yeah.
Who don't want to be adults at all.
I know that, but I'm just
now
saying,
you got to,
like,
square the period blood with being a child. So,
well, so you're, well, there's two things I guess we should differentiate real quick. Okay. Is one, like, ABDL, adult baby diaper lover, is usually technically divided by a slash. So AB is like adult baby, is like somebody that's into the age regression aspect, and DL, diaper lover, is somebody who just has a diaper fetish.
I always just imagine as adult baby diaper lover. you know, like Walker, yeah. Texas Ranger, like
flashing a badge.
Yeah,
adult baby diaper lover here. It seems to be the situation.
on the airplane, do we have any adult baby diaper lovers on board? Please come to the cockpit or need it. Okay, so yes, so they might, you might be an adult baby and or a diaper lover, probably both. If you're
some people that are into like the AB side of things aren't into diapers, like,
yeah,
because
you could be into, wait, what does BDSM again stand for?
Bondage, dominance, sadism, and masochism,
right?
But
so
there's,
you
also
could be
extra
into
letters technically in there, but whatever,
QQIA plus. Okay, but, so but wait, so then you could also be into bondage and what do you say? Bondage and domination or sadomasochism. Like it's interesting just to think about, like, well, these things are maybe separable a little bit.
Yeah. Well, in BDSM, they're 100% separable. So like some people are just into the B, they just like the bondage aspect, tied up. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It restrained in different ways. Some people are just into the D, they just want to be dominated. Right. And then on the other side of that, it's like sadomasochism, masochism. And like, technically it's like, oh fuck, I'm so high. It's like two B's and two D's. It's like dominance and discipline. Yeah. I think it's like BDDSSM or something like that.
But shouldn't it be like submission, dominance, I think submission, and then sadomasochism? I mean, yeah. BDSM seems arbitrary that's what we originally came up with as like the kind of term recognizes.
It's like that longer acronym. I think that they shorten it because there are two D's and two S's.
BDSSM.
Yeah.
It just was too much for everyone.
So BDSM.
Feels like Mississippi at this point.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
That's the thing is like BDSM is different from things that are necessarily kinky. Some things can kind of be kinky, but not really fall into the world of like BDSM, sure. Right? Even though most do. You can always have a kink or a fetish outside of that. And a lot of people toss those terms around pretty interchangeably, kink, fetish, and BDSM, as if they're all the same things. Right. They're just not, right?
But anyway,
I don't know how we got on that subject.
We were talking about adult babies or diaper lovers. So you could be a diaper lover without having any interest in babiness, adult or otherwise, or you could be an adult baby who just didn't care for diapers. But you could also be someone who was into wearing diapers and also was into being like a little, right?
The term is like little, yeah. So like AB or adult baby is like a pretty tossed around term, but people usually say like I'm a little, which just means you're into some form of like age regression.
Yeah.
Or you like to pretend to be younger than you are, right? Mm-hmm. And that's not everybody wants to be like 3 years old, right? You know?
Yeah.
There's like a whole world of like,
I like how we're just like acronyms. I know you would assume that everyone wants to be three obviously. That's the age we'll all conjure up. How we definitely want to be molested, or whatever it is for you. Do you do that? You do that, right? Where you're three in your head, sort of in
some
way. I don't
do the
three thing. Oh, what do you do?
I aim for more of like a slutty like 10 to 12 year old.
Oh, okay. I don't even know.
And it's like I like to feel like I'm being taken advantage of, and like slutty 10 to 12 year old.
Oh, I don't think we've ever done little as a sexual fetish as a week. This age regression. Have we done age regression?
No.
But how has that not happened?
I don't know. Well, we're in it now.
Okay.
I guess we might as well just like...
maybe just record it. Yeah, the first.
We'll just go from here and just make it a really long fetish because this has been great. So let's just keep going.
Okay. Well, now I'm like, wait, why have I never thought about...
It's so much fun.
Yeah, I think it scares me because I know that I would like it.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, okay, well now I have to like ask people to do this with me and this is vulnerable and I got to figure this out. And I don't know.
It's such a great taboo to play with for me. Like I love like going in and like, in like the like 10 year old like side of things is like more rare. Cause like that's a hard headspace for me to get in. I can't ever break or quote regress and like break out of my own mental headspace.
You're not method acting.
No, I can't. I've tried and like, I always have such a firm tether and like in my like present bodily reality.
Okay.
Just the idea of being like a slutty, like little kid that like, you know, doesn't know like what their body's doing, but just like has all these urges they have to fulfill. And like then somebody being an adult that's taking advantage of that.
Yeah.
I
think it was.
Or an adult that's training you like to be good, like, which is all of these are like in IRL super traumatic things that happen to people. But like in this like controlled consenting space of like role play, it's awesome.
There's nothing hotter than being taken advantage of.
The power dynamics involved are so fun to extend outside of just like sex and fucking, at least in my opinion, right? Like that person being your caregiver or your parent, your mommy, your daddy or whatever, like being a brat to them and like playing with like that power. Yeah. It's just a fun kind of like dom sub, like exchange. I can't get enough of it.
Yeah. Okay.
Big dreams is finding somebody that I can like
really,
really get into it with. Because I've like had a few people like that, but like I've never like dated somebody long term enough to really like sink into it to where we can like explore that dynamic within a relationship over. Like,
I just didn't. I thought maybe you were just doing all this stuff all the time with all those lovers.
I have different variations of it or degrees of it and like different kind of like experimentations with it. Right.
Okay. So, like what's the longest you stayed in little headspace?
Like 48 hours.
And so what was the situation there?
It was just like with a past partner of mine. I'm trying to be as nondescript as possible. Where like, yeah, we just like talked about it and I was like, I don't know if I can do this, but I think it'd be kind of wild to try this and see how it shakes out. Yeah. So I just like, but again, I'm pretty much me in all those places. Just like a little ditzier. I can fucking hear him. I hate it. I'll get him in a second.
Okay.
But it was just like, you know, I did what I normally do in a lot of ways. Like I just like, yeah. I built Legos, I watched TV, we like fucked a bunch. It was fun, right?
Yeah.
But it's just adding the air of like role play and like saying go and act on the scene. There's right?
Any little juxtaposition of some reality like that. I mean, it doesn't really take much to heighten the stakes when you just have a different little scenario in your mind going on. Even if you're doing the same stuff, if in your mind this person is slightly taking advantage of you or whatever.
But caring for you at the same time, right?
Yeah, I know.
That's the thing is like, you know, like they made my lunch and shit and like made food for me and then like, but then took advantage of me afterwards. It was so hot. Or like, oh, let's get you in the bath now. Oh yeah, please put me in a bath.
Yeah. Okay.
Wash my body.
Okay.
But I mean, that's just one dynamic to like age play or like age regression, I guess, if that's the fetish, right? So like, you know, there's like people go all sorts of places with it. Like there's like people who consider themselves middles and it's more of like you are really more of like a teenager-y type age. Like technically, I guess I'm more in like the middle-y area, but
you're lower middle.
I'm like a lower middle, you're upper doing, little.
You're saying, you're saying 10 to 12 though, or more? Because 10 to 12 is still upper little, I think.
That's what I thought.
Because that's prepubescent still.
Yeah. And so I think middles are more of like 12 to like, you know, 15.
Well, and it depends too on like, girl, boy, or a vagina, penis, because of hormone differences are a little bit off.
I don't think people are looking that far into
it. Well, I'm just saying, you can be very specific about what a 13-year-old girl versus boy means.
Oh, that yeah, would be true.
But,
so, there are people who are middles,
right? If you want to be 13, you're sick. Any other age, I totally empathize with. But if you want to be 13, what? Kill yourself. Jesus Christ. That's horrifying.
But yeah, people do wild shit with it. Like, and I say wild, I mean really just a wide variety. So some people, you know, it's not sexual whatsoever. It's purely like a fetishistic role play, right? Where there's a release from going into that headspace, like a freeing of like obligations, right? You know, you're no longer in control, so you're able to relax and like not have to worry about like your real life for a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Some people do it for therapeutic reasons to deal with like past trauma, right? Like that helps them.
Yeah.
But face it in certain ways. And,
well, see, like, this, okay, so the other day there was a comic on stage in Chicago where he was saying that a job that he had recently, he for a while was working with Asperger's, the autistic kids, and then he wound up having a job for a few years being a caretaker to an autistic spectrum person. And suddenly I just thought about my whole, like, I'm not really paranoid, but I have this almost, the little thought experiment, like, what if I were in the Truman Show thing? But like, so maybe I'm like kind of special needs, but nobody really wants to tell me that. And these people are just kind of taking care of me.
Yeah.
And, but then I'm like, yeah, but then they fuck me. So they can't be, unless they're retarded too. And that way, you know, like, unless they're special needs too, then they wouldn't just, you know, so I'm like, okay, so I'm definitely not in some kind of Truman Show special needs situation because these women are fucking me. But then I thought, well, no, that's exactly what we are in. They are taking care of me. I do need to be taken care of. We all take care of each other in various ways in relationships. But in some ways I am kind of special needs and I do like to find people who will kind of take care of me in those ways. And then I'm like, And I can just think of it as them taking advantage of me when we have sex. I'm like, so then I kind of told the girl that. I'm like, yeah, so, I mean, you're my caretaker and you have sex with me. So you're already doing it. No need. Because, you know, I'm always trying to groom her into role playing more and more. And we're getting there. There've been little things where we kind of like, I'm like, let me just overlay this reality. Like we're already having sex in a certain way. Right. And I'll be like, okay, just think about this. What if you're my camp counselor and I am like 2 years younger than you. And you know, we kind of were talking all night and like realized, oh, maybe I'm like, have a crush on you and you're whatever. And so like same thing.
Yeah.
But that's what's happening in my mind, just so you know, in case you want to join me psychologically. And so, you know what I mean? Like, we're kind of just, like I said, I'm grooming her. and so now I'm like, you already are my caretaker who's taking advantage of me.
It's great.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think, you know.
Okay, Cooper, at this point, you've already been out and in.
Kind of hard.
I know, it's a little hard.
It's a little hard.
His dick is moving up and down.
Is this weird.
Like the start of his? Because the girl has said that her dog will get an enormous erection every now and then. It's been a while since he may be too old now, but he used to get such enormous erections that he would be debilitated on his back, unable to get up or move, just like. Flailing about.
Oh, that's nature at its best.
Yeah. Nature. Well, that's our eugenics project on these chihuahuas at its best.
That is nature. We are nature.
Well, that's true. We're part of nature. So, but yeah, I mean, I'm just like, I've always known that I was kind of interested. I mean, obviously I had a sexuality since so young and as a kid I thought about adults taking advantage of me and stuff. And so I'm like, obviously I'm pretty into this, but like I said, it's pretty vulnerable. It feels very weird to ask a lover, hey,
that's the hardest
thing
about it.
What if I imagine myself as X years old and you're a fucking pervert? You into that?
That's the thing. Okay, so what you brought up is like, is literally the hardest part about being into age play is like bringing it up with the partner.
You're literally like, asking someone else to be a fucking pedophile for you.
I know. Wild kind of like ask. And okay, maybe not necessarily a pedophile. We're ignoring that. Like,
whatever.
I mean, you are, but like, it makes it weird for me to think about that. Like me, even though I'm thinking about the person fucking me,
it's the we play with the incest taboo sometimes. We play with,
but I'm just saying, like, the word pedophile in that taboo situation makes me uncomfortable.
Well, of course,
right?
Because that's the taboo and it's like the strongest one. And so you're supposed to have this feeling of like, oh, let's make sure that we're not going off the deep end here and doing anything that's actually wrong or damaging.
But, like, yeah, that's a huge thing, you know, like in every relationship I've been in recently, like I've had to bring it up, right? Because it's like, look, you don't have to do it with me, but like, you need to know this is a thing I'm gonna do.
Uh-huh.
So I'm either doing it with you or somebody else.
You or against you.
Right. Yep. And also it's like, also you, I just need you to know this, right? Like, it's kind of like, it's like part, like how I like just being spanked and like being like degraded like that, how I like have like different like kinks and fetishes. Like, this is one of them that holds a large enough like sexual space for me. That's like, you kind of just like need to be on the know.
Okay. Yeah. And I think that's
so
what it is.
So you know who I am as a person.
I need you to know who I am and accept that.
Hey.
And even if
Cooper.
You can't. What are they fighting about?
Cooper sniffed at Ellie.
But why?
She walked near him. He's not getting attention, so he's being a little
dick. Well, I was gone for 2 weeks, and he just is just like, well, now that you're back, why would you not hold me and pet me? It's
because you're a piece of shit, Cooper.
No,
you're a little piece of shit, dude.
You were wondering why he was not being friendly.
Whatever,
with you.
Fuck him. I tried to be so nice to him, picking him up.
He can sense that it's not real.
I like whatever. It was so real. Like, I went to go get him so he could cuddle with Alyssa and I, and he snarled and bit my hands and has tried to bite me every single time I've like tried to pick him up to take him outside.
I'm sorry.
Every single time.
Well,
he's a piece of shit.
No, you have been quite mean to him, and he has learned to be afraid of you, and he always had that issue with Alyssa. Okay. Wait. So we were talking about this
well just age, telling how like hard it is telling to a tell partner people. Of yours like yeah that you're into any sort of age play, because like here's the thing, saying that you like calling someone daddy in bed
sure.
is kind of like admitting you're into age play to somebody, but it's in a very socially acceptable way.
Yeah.
Telling somebody, hey, I'm probably gonna be thinking like I'm a 12-year-old and you're while you're railing me,
mm-hmm.
that's a different ball game.
Yeah,
you know, right?
Yeah,
but here's the thing, when I have told people, more often than not, everybody's been pretty on board with it.
Yeah.
I think it's a thing more people get into than like to admit it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And every relationship I've like introduced it into, it's been an amazing facet of that relationship, right?
Yeah.
And it's like really brought us closer together, because it is such a vulnerable space to be in together, right?
Right.
It's really like it's like the oxytocin exchange, that type of bonding that happens there, that level of trust is like unreal.
Yeah, and that's another interesting thing about like poly stuff too, is that if you do have a partner who is like super not comfortable with something that you are really interested in sexually, then that's kind of a way to be like, oh, like, look, if you don't want to fulfill this thing that, if not a need, is something that you said, like, I am going to explore, then would you mind if I do it with this kinky as fuck person over here?
Yeah.
You know? So that's one way that you can, because a lot of people are just kind of dissatisfied with things like that in a relationship, especially that are like that. It would be nice for it to not be your deal breaker if the other person doesn't want to feel like a pedophile or whatever.
Yeah. Like if I was into monogamy, then the list of things I'm looking for a person to potentially check off
is unreal. So long, like, that
person doesn't exist.
Doesn't exist. And so, if you are interested in this like kind of breadth of those experiences, polyamory is probably the only way for you. And so I think that's part of my like thing in my journey out of monogamy, was like, I'm too kinky for monogamy and I'm never going to explore that if I'm not poly, you know?
Yeah.
So because I've never even let myself think through like what age or ages, probably all of them, that I would like to be, but like what would be my favorite?
It took me a while to figure it out. You know,
mm-hmm.
I like dipped my toes into them all just to see. And it was like, when I was like trying to pretend to be three, I was like, the fuck am I doing? Like, I can't seriously. Yeah. I tried to do the baby talk thing for a second. I was like, no fucking way, dude. There's no way I can like ever. No shade on anybody who does baby talk and shit like that. But like, I already think about my voice and talking so much that like I cannot like adapt a different voice, and it was just like I was like, this is fucking silly when I tried it.
No, someone would let me be like four or five. I would, that's probably it right there.
About 4 or 5.
I was very precocious. you know when you're like. You know, I was a pretty with it 5-year-old.
That was hip.
Yeah, you know, like I was a little bit more aware than some of the 5-year-olds, and I had been masturbating to orgasm for a couple years, which, if nothing else, might have jogged my brain online a little bit. You know, but that's that age, right when like I was very close to my mother, and very, you know, still in that like womb nest child situation, that 4 or 5 years old, because 5 years old, then you start kindergarten, like half day. Right. So you're in this sense of like, I have so much memory and like awareness and sexuality. And then that next year, right before I turned 6, really was when she went to grad school and became a fucking bitch. Just, you know, when my mom became the nightmare that she was for all those years. And so that drastic change is like, that's right at the age. And so like, all my mommy stuff and everything is just like, there's just clear visceral stuff for me right in that age that I know I'm already playing out when I have sex with the girl and everything, you know, like I just joke I said the other day was just like that I'm, you know, she's, like I have my, like, I'm afraid that her boobs are so good that they're going to cure my mommy issues and I won't even be gay anymore. I can feel I'm sucking on those nipples. Like,
looking for something.
I'm going through some shit. Yeah. The anecdote is in that fucking nipple juice. I mean, it's so good. Cause she, anyway, you know how much I love her boobs.
Oh man, I have a different thing.
What? What's up?
Well, I mean, we can keep talking about H play. I don't know.
I probably need to think about it on my own for a while. But I just don't even know what that would be like to be okay. Because, like, yeah, some people, it's just not sexual. Maybe that's what I could also present. Maybe that would help the girl too. If it was like, what if we did this in a non-sexual way? Because I think that's her problem too. She's like, I'm not gonna have this sex drive to like want to fuck a 5-year. But you're right. Like, what if it just wasn't a sex thing?
Well, it's not. Yeah. Also, like, the sex thing in it isn't like, think of it less as fucking a 5-year-old and like frame it more from the perspective that she should kind of be in, which is like, she's actually taking advantage of this, right? It's a little bit more of like involved in role. Like, it's a more intense role play than I think, you know,
right. You'll
have done before. And like, when you're doing that, like, the smallest things feel very large. So it's like, you don't have to fuck this 5-year-old, but like, if you like,
see,
it, like,
I don't
if you do
the, be, yeah, I don't you, think I want to be fucked as a fuck. Maybe as like, a 12-year-old.
If you do like the take a bath, we'd have to make you take a bath thing, and like, she like washes you a little too like inappropriately, and like leave it at that. That holds like an intense weight to it, as opposed to like, I'm gonna fuck the shit out of this 5-year-old. You know, right?
Exactly. Like, you wouldn't want. Yeah, it's more of a caring, nurturing thing that I want anyway. And then yeah, to the extent that it might become sexual in a way like that, where it's kind of incidental. The way things might accidentally happen in your child. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. And so if it's more of a, but then I'm like, yeah, but if I could role play whatever age you're still breastfeeding to or whatever,
tell you, no one's ever too old to breastfeed.
Yeah.
In my experience with age play.
Yeah.
You can write a lot of reasons why a 12-year-old would be, you know, like,
yeah. Yeah. But still, like, that thing from my own childhood of like, I'm being comforted in this way. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll think about that.
I like how we're doing things out of order this week too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to leave it out of order.
The sexual fetish of the week has to be at the end. No one.
True.
Hey y'all, we still need more reviews. It's a nice thing that you could do for us that doesn't take very long. Just say whatever's on your mind. Here's one from username Purple. It's called Thanks Homos. It says, this is the faggiest podcast of all time, and now I'll never be able to stop thinking about human decanting. Cool. 5 stars. I think he likes us. Or she, they. It. And honestly, that's my favorite review we've ever gotten. See, it's so easy.
Oh, man. So I had a really wild kind of like, strangely, for me at least, deep moment the other night.
Mm-hmm.
My friend was over and I was just like talking about my last couple weeks, and like I went through and like told her, you know, about the girls that I've gone on dates with over the last week and a half, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all three, I went on 3 dates, 1 in Louisville, 2 in Austin. They were all with trans girls, right?
Yeah.
And by the time I got to the end of like telling her this story, these stories, I was just like, I had this realization. I was like, oh my God, like I am living in a time where I'm able to do a thing that I never even imagined I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So like when I think about like first, like realizing I was trans when I was really little. Mm-hmm. Right. And like, it was such an impossibility. I just decided I was going to be gay because that was easier than like losing everybody I loved. Right.
Yeah.
And then like high school, college comes around, it becomes more of a realistic possibility. And I start moving towards that. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But even then I'm thinking like dating is going to be so hard. Like there's no, like, you know, I didn't have any sort of like image of or connection to like sexy, like cute trans girls, right? That still wasn't like really a thing. That culture hadn't been built up yet.
And you didn't know there was going to be like this whole Tinder situation, you know?
Well, yeah, but I was aware of Grindr and hooking up on like,
I guess I was already there for you at
those
ages.
To a degree. It wasn't as efficient,
yeah.
You know, but then like, to me now, like knowing that like I really love, I'm super gay and homosexual in like a very traditional, like I like the sameness of me way.
Right.
To look back on like my relationships and this dating situation I found myself in, and just to be like I almost like just cried at it. I was like, holy shit, like I'm able to like be gay as a person that I thought was an impossibility. And like this situation is even more of an impossibility beyond like what I thought like I ever saw for myself. Right.
Yeah.
And like, it's wild that I can go and just date only trans girls.
And not only
that's fucking phenomenal to me.
Because when, yeah, exactly. It's like in every city, you can just find a, whatever the trans girl. Well, that's what I'm saying with Tinder, right? Whatever
it's
you're
amazing.
Using. You can just easily find some trans girls to fuck
and
across this country.
Not even like, it's not even just about fucking. It's like, I've just gone on like some great dates, right? And like, just like, I always thought like, you know, there's this fear of like, who are going to be the other trans girls I'm meeting? How hard is it going to be to find cool ones that like, yeah, that I jive with. And it's been like it's not that it's like absurdly easy. Right. But it's been way easier than I thought.
Yeah.
I don't know. It made me super happy and it made me like genuinely kind of hopeful for the future in a weird way where I was like, look at the world we're living in. But
that's wild.
The other side of that though, that so fucking breaks my heart is like almost all except for one of those girls that like, I've like, gone on dates with, the like look of shock and disbelief when I'm just like nice to them in like very simple ways and like courteous to them in very simple ways, mm-hmm. right? And like they go on so many bad dates. I think a lot of trans girls have a way harder time dating than I do. I mean, in fact, I know it. Like I just hear so many stories, but just like it just breaks my heart to see like how hard so many of these girls try. And like how shittily they're treated by people that they just are trying to genuinely open themselves up to, right? Like, there's a moment in dates where I can like see somebody like realize that I'm not going to be a piece of shit, right? Yeah. And not with every, it's not the same with cis women. There's a different type of guard, but with like going out with trans women, there's a point where like I see like some like mental defenses and physical defenses click off where it's like, oh, okay. You're not going to be a piece of shit type of person. Like, you're not going to fuck me over here. Right?
I'm surprised that they would have all those defenses up even with other trans women they were going on dates with.
Yeah, because that's the thing. Is like, I think there are a lot of fucking weirdos out there still. True. You know, when like, if you're online dating is like, you know, a queer lady for the first time, like, who know? You know, you just stumble into bad situations.
Yeah, you don't know who you're going to meet.
It's hard to screen people as much as you try. Like, you don't know somebody till you meet up, right? Unless you are really chatting with them or something like that, which I don't do. I just meet them at a bar and fingers crossed. But, well, like,
I'm interested. You know, you say, like, you're like, super gay for your sameness. Would you say you're also, like, even within trans women, more attracted to people in kind of like your little gender range, gender expression range, or however you would put that? Kind of like low femme or whatever you're going for.
Yeah, I don't know what, I guess I am kind of like a mid femme, like
somewhere around that.
I say like soft butch femme.
Soft butch, yeah, so there you go.
Right, because it's like, I'm never going to be high femme, but I'm not straight butch.
Yeah.
I got a little, soft butch femme.
Yeah.
Right?
You know what? I don't like the word butch. I keep seeing on Tinder because I would like swipe through at least, I would try to do a few people in each city on this tour. I would try to like look at people's Tinder, you know?
Yeah.
And I kept seeing futch. Is that what we're pronouncing that?
It's femme butch.
Right. But that's a horrible word.
It's a terrible word. Yeah.
Guys, futch.
I don't necessarily like people in my same range. I mean, that is kind of like fun, right? Like, I love the same lookiness, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I like the gay feeling of like, oh, we essentially put together the same outfit.
Yeah.
That's cute, right? All about it. And then we get to take it off each other, even better.
Mm-hmm.
But I just like all types of people. And so, like, if you're, whatever you're doing, if you're doing you well, like, whatever your look or your vibe or your style or your niche is, like, if you are aware of that and you're doing it, performing it well and like in a unique way, like, I really dig that, right? Because it shows a self-awareness and a control of like your image, like that we're like, some people try and pretend that it doesn't exist, but it's like, no, like, you know exactly how you're projecting right now, and like, you should do whatever you want with it. I just want you to do it in my head, like, quote, well, like, be well put together and like have a cohesive look or whatever, you know.
Yeah. See, there's not any kind of like particular attraction to exactly you, or kind of like maybe the other end of the spectrum gender-wise, but still a trans woman, kind of little yin-yang thing going on at all, or
I mean,
just kind of anything.
I'm into anything. I mean, I'm usually going more for girls that look closer to me, yeah. right? Like, in my range of feminist.
It does seem that way from the updates I've seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the other thing is that, like, it's not hyper-intentional. It's really kind of what's available to me.
Yeah.
You know? It seems as if, because I for as many dates as I go on, you know, I swipe right on fucking tons of people and maybe, you know, 10% come back with like a match, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, a lot of other trans girls who are either more like passing-y femi and way less like passing-y femi, like, pass on me mm-hmm. and like don't like want to match with me, right? And so I don't know what the kind of like confirmation bias type shit's going on, maybe, where it's like the people I'm going on dates with are people that look closest to me, even though I'm like trying to go on dates with people who have all sorts of looks, right?
Oh, interesting. That's who's clicking on you more too.
Like, yeah.
I hadn't thought about that selection. Yeah.
Cause like, I haven't like met many trans girls like out IRL and gone on dates with them. So like, there is like a two way, you know, process.
Yeah. That makes sense.
But, oh God, I'm so excited to go on a date with this one trans girl. And like, while she like has to move to town, she's in San Antonio, but she's fucking sick. She listens to heavy metal and like, it's so well-dressed and just cool and cute as fuck. And it's like, goddamn, dude, I'm so glad there are more cool trans people. It's like really been like uplifting to see.
Yeah, I mean, that's so interesting. I never thought about you having the leap of faith doing this, just that you would have peers and community, like, and people to date and everything that you would also be into and wouldn't be whatever you might have worried.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. In my head, it was like, you know, being gay already, like, knocked down my, well, as I saw myself gay, even though at the time I was just, you know, queer and couldn't figure that out, but like, that was already limiting my quote unquote, my dating pool. And like, being trans was like, holy shit. Like, I'm going to have to find a fucking saint, you know, or like some weird person, you know, to fuck me.
Someone who's willing. Yeah. That kind of saint who'd be willing to fuck me. Like, you have some kind of like degenerative disorder. Or
yeah.
Something.
That's
yeah,
what it that felt is, like for
no,
a second,
I mean,
you know,
that's what the culture was telling you, you know?
And so just to like, and then now I get to look back at like really at my like dating over the last year and a half. I've like got to like hook up, go on dates with, spend time, form like amazing relationships with like a multitude of trans women. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been one of the best like experiences I've ever had. You know, it's been wildly like revolutionary in my head. Just, I don't know. It's changed kind of how I look at the world in a weird way, but anywho, just had that thought yesterday when I was like, oh fuck. Like, I am living. I mean, I had this thought a lot where I was like, my life is amazing. But like, I had a moment where I'm like, Jesus Christ, like, my life is fucking phenomenal.
I thought
phenomenal.
That same thing the other day. I'm just like talking to the girl about it. It's like, dude, okay. I have a wife and a girlfriend. Technically, it's all a wife. A wife and a girlfriend and a girl we're seeing together. And I really am in a 24/7 kink relationship with some dude in North Carolina.
Yeah.
You know? Not to mention that we're fucking comedians.
We do this podcast.
And we do this podcast. Like, that's pretty great. That's worth being poor.
Oh my gosh. Can I tell you the best moment I had yesterday?
Uh-huh.
I went to, I'm still friends with my philosophy professor. And so I went to his house for a happy hour before we went out to this concert. And we're there and, you know, it's him, two new professors that just got hired, his wife, his sister-in-law, we're all, and he and his, me and them are, he, whatever, I'm so high, I just took a hit. We're all friends except for these new professors and this one other student of his who recently graduated. And we're sitting there. And so the student that's recently graduated is like, wait, but I don't really know any of y'all. I just know him, the professor. So let me go around. Like, y'all, what are you working on? Like, what are you writing on? She didn't know, or they didn't know, that I wasn't an academic necessarily. Mm-hmm.
You working on some shit?
Yeah, I know, but it's like, I'm working on things, but I was like, the way it's set up was like, I was the last of the three new people to like have to do it. So it was like,
probably best.
Right. And so it was a long conversation before it got to me because there were lots of questions. And so I was like two glasses of wine deep by the time it got to me. But like, I wasn't even sitting down. I was up pouring my third glass of wine. when they were like, oh yeah, so what about you? And my professor was like, oh yeah, you should tell them about the gender fluids. And they were like, wait, you're gender fluids?
What?
And I was like, oh yeah. They're like, oh my god, I fucking love you. You know, they loved it. They're like, I listened to you my entire drive down here from Boston, like on like they just got here from like driving down from Boston. Yeah. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm that Ava. She's like, oh my god, I just wow. You know, and I was like, oh, I feel so awkward now. I don't have to tell you what I do at all, but you now know more about me than probably anybody in this room. Well, except for one other person.
Every time that happens, it's almost like I just completely compartmentalize that. If someone tells me that they've like listened to every episode, even much less just a few or whatever, I'm like, there are people, like on the tour who were like, yeah, I went back, I've listened to every episode. So blah, blah. And I just,
you know so much about me.
Yeah. And it's like, I cannot wrap my mind around that in any way. So I just immediately compartmentalize it. You know, the way people like give you a compliment on your stand up or something and they tell you that was my favorite thing I've ever seen in my life and whatever. You can't really like let that soak in, especially in public or anything. So you just kind of like go, oh, thank you so much.
Yeah.
And then just,
you just mental shut it note, off.
Maybe one day I'll sit in the restroom and go, yes, you know, but you just shut it off. And so then as soon as someone tells you, yeah, I've listened to every episode of your podcast, it's like, anyway, so what are we talking about? Like, what could I possibly do with the information that you know all of this shit about my sex life and childhood and, you know, like, I can't compute that. So may as well put it in a box.
Dude, that is the best, yes, that's how I feel every single time. It's just like, dude, but for me, for some reason, everybody always wants to then like really talk to me about their shit immediately afterwards. I don't know if they do that with you, but for me, they feel like they can talk to me. And so they want to tell me all of their things. And I'm just like, oh, dude, I could not want to do anything less than this right now. Like,
whereas I would love to hear about people's shit. If you can get me to shut up long enough to tell me about some of your shit, I would be fascinated. But
I'm just like, they're like, let me tell you this really interesting story. I'm like, why don't you just like tell
sometimes
it
people
into
do.
A microphone and start your own podcast? I don't want to. It feels like, for me, it feels like they're forcing me to partake in their own little 3-minute podcast. It's like, oh, I love what you do so much. Like somebody like Mick Jagger, your music's so inspiring. Here, take my CD. It's like, Mick Jagger doesn't listen to your fucking CDs, and I don't want to hear your goddamn stories.
No, but if you do have fucked up sex shit, I want to hear about it.
Yeah, send it to Ariel.
Yeah, the more fucked up, the better. If it's not fucked up enough, I don't probably won't care. But if it is disturbing, do let me know.
Oh, gosh.
Can we real quick just talk about that lesbian cafe?
Oh, that's charging the 18% man tax?
There's a vegan lesbian cafe somewhere in Australia, not even one of the cities that we even know the name of. At first the article someone sent me was, it just said they charged an 18% surcharge on men to make up for the wage gap. And then they gave women priority seating.
Super tight.
Or something else. But like, okay, I looked it up because I wanted to make sure the whole thing wasn't just a hoax anyway, just fake news. And there were a lot of articles about it, enough that I was like, okay, this is real. But the reality is that they would ask men at the end of the meal if they would like to pay an 18% donation that represented the wage gap, and it was going to some kind of like organization that helped women or whatever. Yeah. And it was optional. It was just like at HEB or whatever, when they're like, hey, do you want to give a dollar to children? And you're like, no. Just as easily men could just say no.
See, this made me hate it because like it took away all of the badassness to it, where it's like, no, you will pay an 18% tax that we are keeping for ourselves. And it's like, No, it's like the tampon and the drink thing where it's like, yeah, this didn't come up as like a cool radical. For the listeners, radical.
There was a restaurant that was making tampon cocktails. It looked like bloody drinks and they would stick a tampon in it.
But you know, they didn't do it for the conversation like they said they did. They did it for the Instagram pictures and for the sales.
They said it was for the dollar that was being donated to women or whatever, but like donated to buying a tampon for someone else. And for the tampon that we waste in your drink, we're going to give one to an African child or whatever they were saying. It was like, no, they did it for the Instagram.
And so with this shit, it's like, okay, that's like a nice idea, but like it's not as cool. It like
it's very earnest and boring.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I cared way less as I heard about the story more, you know.
Either way, it's unfortunate that like whatever lark that they were doing, I think they were trying to be, maybe they were trying to be fun and cute, and instead the internet got a hold of them and just made lesbians look like exactly this most, it was the, everyone wanted that story to be the stereotype of everything. And so like lesbian vegan been, cafe,
but it would have been better if it was the stereotype of everything instead of this kind of a
lot. They just been like, yeah, so men aren't going to eat here and we're fine with that. Like we're lesbians. We just want there to be fucking hot women in our cafe. Yeah, so we figured if we charged men more.
And then the ones that are here can afford an 18% surcharge.
Yeah. We only want wealthy men and hot lesbians at this cafe. You fucking assholes.
I think they should have made it mandatory, but I'm sure there's something legal where you can't.
Person-datory. Stop.
And on that.
Her daughter-datory. This has been another NPR production out of Safe Space Studios.
We're broadcasting on 66.6 FM. That's KFUX. Peace.
Ciao.
I'm Janish Meeting, a native writer and comedian, and I'm thrilled to announce that my podcast, Woman of Size, has found a permanent home on the Hoo Ha Ha Network. On Woman of Size, I talk to artists, writers, activists, and thinkers about their big-ass lives, their big-ass experiences, and their big asses. Woman of Size is
plus size,
Latina,
flawed,
curvy,
baby, thick, queen,
queer,
fat,
black,
disabled.
So come take up space and subscribe to Woman of Size on Apple Podcasts or wherever you like to listen. Be big, baby.
This has been a Hoo Ha Ha podcast.